Welcome to part two of our Brewmaster podcast here in 1,000 years of beer. We ended the part one with a little bit of a teaser, and which we get to later.
Because, indeed, we do.
Because we do have a very special story about our Brewmaster being in Los Angeles. But we ended also with the question, you're with customers a lot.
I wanted to go first in something else. If you allow,
I will allow it.
The one thing you told that Sunday night you were looking to, you know, going back to the brewery Monday to work, but it's also Wine Stefan, and maybe that's also now the first question for the second part is it also part of this passion to be in that line of heritage? I mean, there are a few, but not that many, brewmasters here in Wine Stefan. It's the same like at the university where they said, well, being the head of the brewing and beverage department here in Wine Stefan, there were a few international, very known and professors there, like Mr. Nazis, Mr. Buck, whatever. So there's a long heritage there, but even a longer heritage here in our brewery. And that you are now in this line of brewmasters that were more or less allowed to do that here.
Yeah, that's something special. That's right. So as I said on Sunday evening, I'm looking forward to going to work. That's why a lot of people complaining about Monday. Although I don't like Mondays, but I like Mondays because I can go to a brewery. So don't understand me wrong. I love
still work
to be at home with my with my family, of course. But I'm not afraid to go to work on Monday. And because I can go to a brewery. And what makes it more special is Wine Stefan, because this is a very, very special place, of course. Not only the long history, also the very good connection to the university. And to meet all these big guys in the brewing industries, like Professor Nazis. So he's still the pope of brewing industry, of course. And everybody will agree with me, I'm for sure.
And I guess a lot of people, I mean... There are not many names in the brewing industry that are so well known in Wine Stefan. I guess it doesn't matter where in the industry in the world you can go to any brewery and say, hey, I'm the brewmaster from Wine Stefan, and basically anyone will know what brand it is and what brewery it is.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I always think the farther you travel, the better you are known as Wine Stefan. So that's very crazy and also special on the same side, yeah.
On the other side, you said, yeah, like working together with like professors like Mr. Nazis, and we had also like some kind of, you know, of course, relationship with the university. So is it at them point, I mean, you said it was Mr. Nazis sitting there, the development of our new Helles, he was part of the development in the tastings, and he gave feedback on something like that. So is it sometimes also a little bit of some kind of pressure, you know, like they're having so much great and very known people in the industry that have so much knowledge and so much experience to look at your fingers, what you are doing, and then like they're tasting the first batch of your new recipe, and then you're like, oh my God, what is he saying?
Yeah, that's exactly I thought. Nobody should be more nervous if the people who should buy it, if they want to drink it, or if it tastes good for them. Yeah. Because this is our main thing in our production. But I was more nervous when Mr. Professor Nazis also tasted that, and when he gave me feedback and also proposed something to do. And I had a different proposal in one step in the brew house, for example. And here we discussed it. And he said, okay, just try it and then we can taste it. And after this tasting, he said, okay, normally we should do that like that, but in this case, you're right. For this beer type, this was maybe is the best way to do it. And this was the best thing ever happened in my brewery career, that Mr. Professor Nazis said, you did a good job.
So yeah, this is something wow. I don't know, you're a big hockey fan and hockey player too, right? Yeah. This is like when you're like on the ice with Wayne Gretzky and he said, hey, nice slap shot, eh?
Yeah, more or less the same. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So we're comparing Professor Nazis to Wayne Gretzky now. No,
Wayne Gretzky is compared to Mr. Nazis.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. This way, yeah.
But yeah, I guess this is also the specialty what makes wine stuff, and not just the tradition and the heritage, also the cooperation working together with the university. I think that one of our most important things, except of the quality management, that we can use the labs of the university, which is a great situation, also with the yeast center where we can store our yeasts and whatever. This is all great things, but I think my personal opinion, maybe you will share them, your thoughts on that with me, is I guess the weekly tasting sessions with the guys from the Brewing Institute, because getting a neutral but also not inside the company feedback, professional feedback on your beers. I mean, they are all brewers or sensorial analyzers, so they're beer tasted by profession for living. And when they have their weekly production and they're tasting them with you together and giving a feedback, that's, I guess, very honest feedback, better than maybe your own impression in the brewery. Maybe you are then having like two company side of you and they are like a little bit outside. Or how do you see that?
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right, because this brings it on a higher level. Mm-hmm. If you have it with real scientists and also extern people, so not just the same guys who are always drinking the beer and always say, yeah, it's okay. So just to see the small, very small differences between one batch and the other batch, because that's the point we have to work. We want to have always the same taste, always the same quality. So this is one of the things we want to achieve. So that's why we need to do that very special. Mm. And we also get trained over there. So there's a taster training at the university we join when we can, just to train our own, to very know our, to see the differences or the small things. Mm-hmm. Especially special things in the years when the crops changes. So as you know, every year different crops, so we have to adjust our recipes or our everything just to keep the or to ensure that we have the same taste the people expect from a Weinstephaner beer. So that's why we need to know in which screw we have to adjust in the brewery to ensure the same quality or the same taste, more or less.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a lot of things. Of course, you have analyses you can read and you have to know what they are saying, but you have to taste that. Yeah. You have to feel that.
Yeah, all analyses are good. All parameters are great to know, and that helps to keep that quality and that taste there where it should be. But in the end, tasting is
that's the key.
Yeah, that's the point. On the other side, this is also very nice, and I guess for our listeners and especially for our fans and customers out there who maybe listen to that. So that's the big myth, Tobias, you said a little bit right now, and I want to open up that that box of the myth. So we get a lot of the question, how old are your recipes? Because they're thinking the world's oldest brewery. Oh my God, we have maybe have recipes 500 years old. So with that, we can say at least. Yeah. So our recipes are more like 12 months old.
Yeah, of course. That's right.
Yeah.
So our taste is the key. So we want to keep the taste. So you have to adjust your recipe every year to ensure the same quality, because you can compare it with wine. So there's every year you say that's vintage.
Yeah.
But we don't want to have a vintage beer, or the customer don't want to have vintage beers.
That's not the Bavarian way of brewing.
That's right. Yeah. They want to have a Weinstephaner Hefeweizen, and they want to have it same taste every time, and they rely on the quality and want to have that taste, so they're searching for that.
Yeah.
And we have to ensure that taste. So that's why we need to adjust our recipes
every time it's necessary.
Yeah,
keep that taste. So maybe our quality idea is that old, and the idea of the beers, but not how really to make it.
Yeah, per definition.
So this is a question that we actually get a lot. So we're
by our customers. A lot.
Yeah. So we're actually glad we could clear this up, because you know, I know we talked about it a couple of times, that if we had a recipe from like the 13th century or something, nobody would actually like that beer. So yeah, maybe we would try it. I guess we would, but
it's not the idea of what beer is today.
But you know, talking to customers is a big part of your job as well. And if we have special beers, for example, you get to travel the world. So tell us a little something about that. How is that for you, the experience to meet customers out there?
Yeah, as I said, the farther you go, the more people love you and your brewery.
The brighter the star of wine, Stefan, is shining.
Yeah, more or less, that's exactly right, yeah.
Is there some kind of anecdote, some kind of story you want to tell us? Maybe something about a beach or something that's...
let's let him first say what he loves about meeting customers.
Yeah.
Don't be so.
It's great to meet customers out there. So I don't know where in the world. So the people are very open-minded and welcomes you very, very good and wants to hear about your beers and your way of brewing or your ideas about that. And it's, for me, it's also very cool to have that feedback and to know what is special in this country and to know how they handle the beer or how is the taste of the beer. So when I try the beer here in the brewery, to say, okay, that's right, it's okay, taste is okay, we can ship it to the world. But I didn't know how it tastes at the end of the world, at the other side of the world. So that was very, very special when I was the first time in Australia, the first pub. Get the first beer, so I was very excited to see, okay, what is coming now? How is the taste? Is it like in Freising? Is it like, or is it completely different or old? Or I don't know how they handle it. Because when I was in Australia, I saw a pickup truck. So it was a big truck, but it was just like a pickup. So the stainless steel barrels just stood there and the hot sun burned the vessels,
pasteurized the beer,
barrels, pasteurized the beer, and it was a local brewery. So it was not the Wein Stefan beer. It was a local brewery, and the people need to wear gloves to unload the truck because the stainless steel was so hot they couldn't touch it. So and I thought, okay, this is not good for beer. So everybody knows that it's not good for beer, but our distributor in Australia is doing a really good job. So they know. So they
how to handle beer.
So we also taught them how to handle beer, what is the quality point of thinking, and you have to keep it dark and cool and everything else, and they do a real good job, and the beer quality. So I had the first Hefeweizen in Australia, and I thought I was drinking it here in Wein Stefan in the Bräustübel. It was the same quality, so I was really surprised to have the same quality. So they managed to bring it perfect to the customers. And that's really cool.
So actually, this gives you a great feedback on how the beer is working on the market. And I guess it should not be a impression that's only for sales guys or for me as brand ambassador. But it's also, I guess, very important for you as the brewmaster to see how the beer is handled. And of course, getting out of the office sometimes.
Yeah, of course. And how's the quality? And also when you talk with customers all over the world, doesn't matter where, so they give you feedback and you can bring it back to your daily work and can work on your beer to make it even better.
And I guess it also pumps you a little bit, like, you know, when the brewmaster is coming to people, are like, wow, brewmaster, 1,000 million questions.
Yeah.
But just get excited, right? This is like kind of...
Yeah, that's cool. So it's also very challenging. You know it when you're traveling, so it's fun traveling. But the people, for you, you have 14 days and every day you're getting
the
more
demand
tired
on you is 100%.
I don't know, but the people are saying, yes, you are here. And I waited weeks for
and
that.
And squeeze
evening,
everything out of you.
And I want to know everything. Tell me exactly how you brew beer and what are you doing. But when you have one or two beers and very enthusiastic customers and you're getting back and you're happy and you're not tired anymore. And I'm happy to share all the knowledge
it pumps up.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic.
So is there some kind of anecdote or some kind of story you want to share with us? I mean, we did a little teaser at the end of part one, so we know what's coming, but our listeners out there, they're getting excited about that too. So can you tell us a little something about
how do you became Mitch Buchanan?
Exactly.
In Malibu. Let's bring it to the point.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah, one of the coolest travels we had was in the United States when we promoted the Brow Pact we brewed together with Sierra Nevada. We were there 14 days, so 2 weeks. New York, Chicago, North Carolina and the Sierra Nevada Brewery, San Francisco, Chicago, Los Angeles. So after 2 weeks, the last stop was Los Angeles. We had an event, customer event in Hollywood, and in a building on the Walk of Fame. And that was the end of the 2 weeks tour. And after that, we said, yeah, okay, it's done. Good job. Very cool. Let's go home and sleep. No. So, of course, we got out and said, okay, that's the end. We have to drink some beers and have to celebrate all that. And a lot of customers joined us. Also, a guy, he joined us 3 days. We have been in Los Angeles. He was 3 days with us. By the way, it was Tyler. If you're listening, hi from my Stefan. Because he was very happy that we were over. And he's a really cool guy. He has two restaurants in Los Angeles, one in downtown, one in Santa Monica. And he said he's a surfer guy. And he said, okay, you don't have, I think you don't have a sea in Bavaria, so we need to go surfing. I said, yeah, of course, we should do that one day. And we celebrated and drank beer until 2 a.m., I don't know. And when we got home, took an Uber, he said, okay, I'll be there 4 hours, 6 o'clock. I pick you up for surfing. I said, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, of course. But 4 hours later, he called me, 6 a.m. He was there. He called me. He said, okay, stand up. I'm here. And I said, no, you're kidding? No, no, I'm here. Look out the window. And he stood there with his pickup. And I said, okay, let's do that. And then we drove out from Hollywood to Malibu. It's a 45-minute drive, more or less. And he prepared everything. Surfboards, wetsuit, even water to shower after the surfing. And he said, okay, you're here and you're a cool guy and I want to show you our way of living. Let's go surfing. We go to Malibu. That's the original spot. So that's why, yeah, this he said Mitch Buchanan, because of course there's a picture standing on Mitch Buchanan's house.
I love this picture.
Just looking stupid on the ocean.
In his wetsuit, he's standing there like on the watchtower what's English word? Safety swimmers or lifeguards? Lifeguards, a lifeguard house there, and looking there like a little bit like a David Hasselhoff, like down at the sea with his longboard in his hands. Yeah. Oh my God, this photo has so much feelings, made so much feelings in me. That's
Yeah, no, it was cool. We talked about some sharks, and he said, no, you don't have to worry. They don't want to eat you. If it's just an accident, so don't care. I said, okay, thank you for that. Now I'm very not nervous anymore. But it was cool. We go out and he said it's just small waves, so 3-4 meters high. It's just a small wave, so we have the longboards. And I said, okay, very small waves. Okay, no problem. But the funny thing is, so very beginner's luck. So the first wave, he said, okay, now paddle, and jump. And I jumped and I caught the first wave and I rode the wave until the beach, and he was more happy and celebrated that more than me, because yeah, for me it was beginner's luck, and it's teacher's success. But it was so cool, and we had just after that 2 hours fun sitting in the ocean on the board, watching the other surfers, just had fun, and that was a really cool experience. And yeah, we are still friends, I would say. We text from time to time, and I would love to come back and visit him again. So these are the really cool things of a business trip. So
yeah, that's bonus.
A business trip of a brewer, though.
Yeah.
So thanks again, Tyler. That was a great experience.
Amazing.
Getting to drink beer and surfing in Malibu, that does sound like a really great business trip. Yeah. So
it's a hard job, but somebody has to do it. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's what Matthias always says, and I'll say, all right, I'm the guy with the equipment. I'll make sure you guys get to tell everybody. So last question, Tobias, and then we'll leave you with your work again. You as a brewmaster, what would you like to tell people, or what is your message to all the people? What is something that everybody needs to know about our brewery?
I think one big point is we are not a beer factory, we are a brewery, and we brew the beer with passion and love, and we want to ensure the best taste. And for me, it would be the best thing if the people also taste that and feel that when they have a Weinstephaner beer.
And that is probably the best conclusion we can get to this podcast, perhaps.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, everybody at home listening in to this podcast. Thank you very much for being with us. Check out our other episodes that are already online. If you want to get in contact with us, it's either podcast@weinstephaner.de or check in with us on one of our socials, Instagram or Facebook. And yeah, we'll leave you with that. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.